Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Overseer, you're on live.
All right, hello, hello everyone, and hope you had a blessed and wonderful week. Thank the Most High for another blessed day. I thought I was talking to everyone, but I had my mic on mute, so that's my fault. But hope everyone had a blessed and wonderful week. Hope everything is going good. I continue to pray for the saints and the brothers and sisters out here. I'm continuing to pray for those that are lost and that they receive salvation. Continue to do the same for me. Amen. I just kind of got a little under the weather a few days ago. Kind of snuck up on me. It's kind of been weather change here in Texas. We're doing real good with some good, nice, hot, warm weather. And we've got a little cold front. Amen. So I know that the weather's just kind of been strange here in these last days. I know that the Bible talks about, you know, just things being different in these last days. I remember when the weather would change, it would only do for a few days, but not for weeks at a time. Once it gets warm, it usually used to stay warm in Texas. But nonetheless, you know, we're doing good. We're blessed to be here. We're grateful for this platform and this opportunity. We thank the saints for being available. We pray that the word continues to get spread, and that we continue to teach and preach salvation as we are expecting and looking for the return of our Lord and Savior. Remember, family, we want to continue to look every day. Amen. I tell people, don't get so comfortable and in love with this world to where you just, amen, you just kind of forget about Christ's return. Amen. I long and look for his return. Amen. The Bible says that that's what we're supposed to do. We are to watch and to desire the return of our Lord and Savior. We can't wait to see him and be with him so we can live and dwell for all eternity with him. Amen. We know this life is full of challenges, trials, and tribulations, but, you know, we have some good days. I know we do. We have a lot of good days, but, amen, I look forward to the day to where I have eternal life. My greatest gift is going to bless me with immortality. That's the gift that I look forward to. Of living for all eternity, and also the other things that we're going to receive as far as our rewards. So I know that's what we look forward to. We're grateful for our life. We're grateful for this opportunity. So family, just remember to continue to stay healthy, continue to be conscious out there. We know there's a lot going on in the world. But as I tell people, the Holy Spirit will protect you. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. And always remember this, that the enemy cannot touch you without God's permission. Amen. So he has to have God's permission before he can make an attempt to touch you. So remember, he can't do anything to you without God's permission. The Holy Spirit is going to protect you and keep you. And so let's just keep that in mind, that we are praying for one another, that we're praying for the lost. Amen. And I do have a good report. Amen. One of my sons, actually, is my youngest son. Amen. Me and him actually sat down and spent some time this week. We just sat down and just had a little talk. Amen. Which is a blessing, you know, how kids get when they get a little older. Amen. You know, they kind of get, you know, out and about, and they want to enjoy their lives. And I understand that because I was the same way. So it seems like they don't have time for you anymore as they get older. And I kind of was that way, too. But it's always good to sit down and talk to your loved ones, talk to your family. I know there were times where it was joy my dad, but when, you know, I would just come in just sometimes just randomly just start talking to him. He really enjoyed that. And so me and my son had that moment this past week where he just came in one day and he just, I don't know what was going on with him, but he wanted to talk to his dad. He just stood down and started talking to me. I said, that was good. That was such a blessing. That really joyed my heart. I even told my wife I couldn't even stop talking, but I was just so happy for him and proud of him because he just was telling me about the things that are going on in the world and how he was, how he would talk to his friends and about, you know, just some of the things that they were doing. In fact, they gave him a nickname in the group. I think they call him Deacon or Pastor or something like that. Hey, man, that's a good report because, you know, You know, the Bible said that we should let our light shine before men. And I tell people, you know, we focus on so much negative sometimes that we don't focus on the positive of people. And I was so happy and proud of him. You know, he just was just reading some words, some spiritual words, and kind of looking at the word, the Bible. And you know, me and him was just talking. I just, like I said, that just really joyed my heart, because it just reminds me what the scripture says. And I always tell people this, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, he or she should go. But when they are older, they shall not what? They should not depart from the faith. They won't depart. And that's another testament to once saved, always saved. Once you teach your children, once they're young, and you teach and instill in them, that's the best time to teach your kids about salvation. And to make sure that they're saved is when they're young. You know, make sure that they understand it and teach it to them year after year. And they'll understand it. You'll be surprised. These children this day and time are so smart. They're so intelligent that, man, these kids, they grasp things so much, so fast now. And it's the same thing that, you know, when we was coming, my dad used to say the same thing about how smart we were compared to them, how fast we caught on to things. And each generation gets what? Wiser and wiser. We see that we're getting closer and closer to the end. And when I say the end, I mean the end of this age, the end of the Luciferian rule. We're not at the end of the world yet, but we are at the end of Satan's rule. Satan's rule is about to be done here pretty soon. You know, we're hoping more soon than what we can imagine, because while we look for Christ to come back and to return. But I just want to share that good report. That would just bless my heart so much to hear him just talk about the word and, you know, just talk about salvation and how he believes. And I just like, wow, that just goes to show that what we teach, the plan of salvation, and that we teach once saved, always saved, it works. Because, you know, we can think a lot of different things about people. Because like I tell people, stop judging people. Stop being so, you know, so religious. You know, the Most High deal with it. Give it to God. All we got to do is teach them, just train them and teach them salvation. Teach them what Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9-10 say, and leave it in the Most High's hand. You know, we just did what we try to do. We try to put people on the balancing scale and put them on a grading scale because of their life and their lifestyle. We try to determine if people say. You can't determine if nobody's saved. That's not your job. Your job is to teach the truth, teach the word, train them. Just like you train somebody on a job or you train somebody in school. Your job is to train. That's why I tell people, that's why I love to teach instead of, you know, hooping and hollering, which is okay if that's what you're into, or even preaching. I prefer to teach. Why? Because that's how you learn. That's where the education and the knowledge of God's word it comes from, is that through teaching. And this is the reason why churches are in such a bad state now. That's why so many people are falling away from the faith. It's simply because the word is not being taught. People are not being trained. The truth is not being taught in the churches. And this is why you got so many people that are coming to the church, but they get discouraged and disappointed because they think that they got to jump over this high wall to become saved. And the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible said all you have to do is believe with your heart, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Thou shalt be saved. But instead, we want to determine who goes to heaven. You don't have a heaven or a hell to put nobody in. It's not your place to sit and judge people. It's not, and I've seen it all my life with some of these so-called preachers, that they want to judge people. They want to determine who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. And it's okay to preach fire and brimstone, because I do too. But, hey, when you turn down, you also got to build up. You also got to let them know that, hey, that God loves you, right? God is love. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about salvation and love. And so before I get a little bit too deep into this, let me go ahead and read the context of love. We're going to read that, and we're going to say a quick prayer. And we're going to jump right into the word. Amen. So 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31 reads, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men, and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I give And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seek it not our own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be knowledge, it shall. Amen. It says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we just come thanking you for another blessed day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for salvation. We thank you for the spiritual gift of immortality. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for redeeming us, mankind, back to you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the greatest gift, which was your Son, to redeem us back to you, Heavenly Father, to give us life, and that we may have life more abundantly. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for all that you have done, all that you're doing, all that you're about to do, Heavenly Father. Again, I bless and praise your holy name. Heavenly Father, I just come thanking you for life itself. I come thanking you for your grace and your mercy and for your hand of protection through your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. Again, I bless and praise your holy name forevermore, for there is none like you in all existence, Heavenly Father. We just come praying that the flesh mind be quieted and removed, Heavenly Father, as we get into the Spirit. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right, so we're going to go ahead. We're going to continue this series on salvation. Amen. I think we got like a couple more weeks left. The strangest thing, I can't even get my calendar to work, which is funny to me because it's been working all the time. So when you need things, you know, it's just want to give you the hardest time. But when you don't need them, it's like it works. Okay, so we actually got one more Saturday left. Okay, so we actually had five Fridays in this month. So we got four. Okay, we got one more Saturday left. Amen. Excuse me. I don't know why I keep yawning. Amen. So, amen. All right. So we're going to go ahead and get into the world. I have been taking some medicine. Like I said, I've been under the well, so that's probably what it is. Just probably making me drowsy, but we're going to go ahead and get into the word. You know, I know last week we just focused on salvation. We focus on eternal salvation. And so we just want people to understand what salvation is. Again, you know, I keep hearing this thing on social media that just really just, I'm just shocked at some of the things, the teachings that I hear and how people, this one brother was saying something about people who believe in the pre-tribulation. That's false doctrine. I'm like, how in the world could he come to that conclusion? Amen. Then, you know, you have people that say all kind of things. It just makes you wonder. But nonetheless, we're going to continue to move forward. Amen. We'll deal with that another day. We're going to go ahead and let's go to St. John. I think I want to start over in the book of St. John. As I told you before, when you first become saved, the book of St. John is the best book to read when it comes to when you first get saved, because it also teaches you about salvation. And what I've been teaching as far as, you know, salvation is for all eternity. And once saved, always saved, okay? So now we're going to look at the scripture and see what it says. Let's go over to St. John, the 10th chapter. Let's look at verses 27 through 30. Let's deal with that. Amen. Be praying for me because, like I say, I actually had to take off some days from work due to being up under the weather. So I hadn't really been talking, you know, since the middle of the week this past week. You know, I said I'd take some days off. And so this is the first time I've really just been talking, you know, being under the weather. So it's kind of challenging me here. St. John, the 10th chapter, verse 27 through 30. Nonetheless, the Holy Spirit is going to give us the strength to go through it. Amen. All right, this is what it says. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Amen. This scripture, this context, is an assurance from Yeshua, amen, from Christ, the chosen one, the Messiah. This is a promise. This is a guarantee. And this is, again, when I tell people, once saved, always saved. I'm not just saying that just because it sounds good. I'm not saying that kind of make people feel good. Well, you should feel good about salvation, but I guess to take the fear from it. But remember what I said last week, that the Most High has not given us what? The spirit of fear. Once we become saved, we don't fear losing our salvation. We don't fear the devil. We don't fear death. We don't fear it. We just don't fear. He has not given us the spirit of fear. So once he has saved you, he has saved you. Once you've been born again, you have been born again. I used this example the other week when I told you about the conversation between Nicodemus and Christ, Yeshua. He said, can a man be born and once he is old? No, he can't be born through his mother's womb. There's no way possible that a grown man can come out of a woman. It's amazing that a child can come out of a woman. So you have to think about it like this. How many times do you come through your mother's womb? Once. You're born once. How many times do you have to be born again? Once. You ain't born again several times. You ain't, I've been born again. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You have not been born again. You have just been born again once. And what that reference to with Christ, and it was saying that you've been born again in the spirit. The first time is natural. The second time is spiritual. That's why it's called being born again, meaning that you've been born spiritually. And you only need to be born one time. And what just amazes me is how people cannot understand that. And I was just sharing with someone the other day. I can't remember if it was today. I was talking to a brother. You know, talking to young people, and when I teach, I believe that I make my teachings as simple as and as easy and as clear as they could possibly be. I'm trying to make it as easy as an elementary kid can understand, and I know for a fact that I do because I have people who are grown now that I've taught many years ago. They got it. They understand, and it just blows my mind how they still understand it. God's like, just wow. They come back and tell me things. It's like so I was just talking to my son and just things that, you know, I've taught him in the past, it just wows me because it's like, wow, you remember that? It's like, man, you know, it's just such a blessing to your heart and to your soul to know that saving people pays off. And salvation, especially for the saints, starts at home. Don't wait for your pastor to save your children's life. This is what the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. I didn't leave the chance of my family's salvation in some man's hand. Not my dad, not another pastor. My dad was a pastor. I didn't leave my salvation in somebody else's hand. I want to know what the Bible says for Tim, for me. What does it mean for me? And that's the same thing that I encourage for you. You don't have to wait for me to preach a word. Read the Bible for yourself and teach it to your family. Definitely teach it to your children. That is the most easiest salvation catch there is. And what I mean is, again, as the Bible says, if you train up a child in the way that they should go, they shall not depart. The Bible guarantees that. The Bible says they see. Notice when the Bible says shall, that's almost a guarantee. And they shall not depart. Meaning that God is basically giving you a guarantee. God is basically giving the guarantee that they're not going to turn away from me. Why? Because my Holy Spirit is in them. He did not send his son Christ to die on the cross for you, to lose you to sin, to lose you to Satan. And as I said last week, Satan is an adversary. He's an enemy of God. He is not a nemesis, meaning that he is not the opposite equal. God has no opposite equal. It is impossible. He has no equal on the good side or the negative side. He is God all by himself. He don't need you or nobody else. We have to get that through our, no, I said, you all have to get that through your mind. For you all who believe that, you can lose your salvation. For you all that's teaching some of these things that's just, I just can't get it past me. And I tell people all the time, hey, it's okay. It's okay to have been teaching something that's been wrong and to correct it. You know, it's that old saying that when we know better, we do better. It's just the truth. You don't continue to teach something and you've been wrong for many years. And you just go out of your pride. You don't continue to teach wrong just because you don't want to, you just want to acknowledge that you were wrong. But you got souls that you got to get an account for. These people's souls are going to be lost because you're teaching incorrect teaching. And yes, when you teach incorrect teaching, you're causing souls to be lost because people are confused. I've talked to people so much. Remember, I've been teaching and preaching for 20 years. I've talked to so many different people, even elderly people in church that come up and told me, thank you for that clarification. I've always wondered if my salvation is secure. Yes, your salvation is secure. That is the purpose of this scripture. That is the purpose of Christ coming to redeem you back to God, to the Most High, is to secure your salvation, not to leave you guessing and hoping. See, that's the spirit of fear. Oh, man, oh, I hear so many old saints and people venture, well, I hope I'm saved. I say, Lord, have mercy. What do you mean when you say you hope you're saved? You've been in church all your life and you don't know if you saved or not. That's a bad thing. If you've been in church all your life and you don't know if you're going to heaven, what are you doing? No. Hey, 21 years ago, amen, and my brother, he's one of my mentors, bless his heart, bless his soul, he taught me, he said, no, Tim, salvation is secure. And I began to study and read and say, well, wait a minute, well, what is he talking about? Because we wasn't taught this. I understand what we were not taught. That don't mean you always continue to go in the way of error. It's okay. Just because people are older than you don't make them right. Just because they've been in church 40 and 50 years, it don't make them right. You have to read and study to show yourself approved for yourself. Because guess what? You got to stand before Christ. I got to stand before Christ. And so I just want people to understand that this is an assurance. So I'm going to go over verses 27 through 30 again. We're going to look what the Bible says. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, verse 28 and 29 are key verses, okay? And I tell people all the time, I've got so many scriptures on salvation, and people, you know, I had somebody tell me one time, I think it was a pastor here. He had the nerve to tell me. This was funny because I wasn't even a pastor then. I was saved, but I wasn't even a licensed minister at the time. And he tried to tell me, well, the Bible don't say that once you save, you always say. I said, well, the Bible don't say that once you, the Bible says you can lose your salvation either. The Bible doesn't say that. So, you know, a lot of times people would get upset and they want to get technical. And I tell people, you know, it's no need to get on the defensive to that extent. You know, we are on the same side, supposedly, with teaching the word. And all I'm simply teaching people is what the Bible says. Now, you can pray. You can ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Most High for interpretation. He gonna reveal it to you. But I don't understand how people don't understand. And I'm fixing to cover these next two verses. And you see what I'm saying? I don't understand how people don't understand. Once I read these next two verses, you should be able to comprehend, because if I've been teaching this for 21 years, and people who I was teaching that were children are now adults, and they got it. And I can talk to them today, and, you know, that conversation will come up, that they glad that they're saved. I don't even have to ask them if they say. They'll tell me, I'm so glad that I was taught by you, that the way you teach and the way you talk, it's not bragging or boasting. It's just simply saying salvation is free. Salvation is simple, not because of what we do. It's because of what Christ did. It's because of his obedience to his Father. That's what makes salvation simple. That's what makes salvation easy. See, people think salvation is this. Oh, it's not this hard thing that people make it like you slaving or something. It's like, yeah, it's not what it is. No, let the Holy Spirit, let God deal with your changes. Let him deal with your issues. It's like when you're sick and you go to the doctor. You don't say, well, I'm going to see if I can get better before I go to the doctor. What sense does that make? You go to the doctor because you're sick. You don't go to the doctor because you feel like you can make yourself better to where you don't really need the doctor, but you're going to go to the doctor anyway. No, absolutely not. When you're at your worst of worst, you say, man, you know what? It's getting too bad. Hey, I know one time that happened to me. Man, you know, as a man, we're prideful. We don't want to go to the doctor. We don't want to go to the... I said, man, I got so sick one time. I said, man, I can't. You know, we skip the embarrassment of getting an ambulance. Forget all that. Forget your pride. I called them. They came and picked me up, went to the doctor. Everything was fine. Got the feeling better after a few hours. The point that I'm making is, what if it would have been something bad? You know, we can't sit there and wait till we get too bad. But the point I'm making is that when you're at your worst, that's when you really want to come, okay? Because that's what it takes to become saved, okay? You know, a lot of people think that, oh, you know, I don't really feel like, you know, I feel like I need to quit this. I talk to people say that they need to quit drinking and smoking. That's not how it works. You don't stop drinking and smoking and decide to come to the Lord. You don't stop chasing women and decide to come to the Lord. You don't wait till you get old and decide to come to the Lord. That's just not how it works. You come when you are at your, if you're a thief, a robber, definitely if you're a murderer, and other things that are worse. Yeah, you definitely want to come to the Lord, okay? It's not, oh, I'm going to wait till I – because I used to think like that. I remember when I was young, because the way we were taught. We were taught that you could lose your salvation. We were taught that you have to work your way into salvation. So I always thought, man, I'm horrible. I'm bad. God ain't going to accept me right now. See, when we teach that false doctrine, when we teach those doctrines, that causes people not to want to come to church to get saved because they think, I'm not good enough. What if I make a mistake? What if I lose my salvation? And that's caused a stumbling block and a hindrance to people that want to become saved because they think, I've talked to people. And they told me, man, I'm so glad you clarified that. They said, I was never taught that. I said, I know, because I was never taught that. My dad was a pastor. God rest his soul, and I'm not bashing him. I thank him for what he did teach me because of him and my mom. That's why I'm saved, and that's why I'm who I am today, because of my mom and dad. I am so grateful for them that he led me to Christ. He pointed me in the right direction. Even though I didn't understand the plan of salvation, he still pointed me in the right direction to go to become saved. And this is what this is all about. I want your salvation to be guaranteed. It is like just like when you got a ticket. You got a ticket, you get on the train, they're going to kick you off. I've never paid for a plane ticket. In the middle of the flight, they say, you know what? We got to take you back to the city we came from, Tim, just because. Wait a minute. You know, people don't kick you off until you pay for your own. You're saved. You are with us. Christ loves you. He's not giving you back to Satan. Who is Satan? Please, I tell people, stop preaching that weak doctrine. Because you giving now that you saying you saying that Lucifer has more power than Christ? Absolutely not. Christ is the one that created him. The Bible says that he created all things. Okay? So we have to understand that. If you don't believe that, go over to Colossians, the first chapter, and read Colossians, the first chapter, and read Romans, the first chapter, and you'll find out that Christ created everything. He created the heavens and the earth. He created man, he created the angels, and he created man. And so we have to understand, well, that's why when Christ told him, it was a funny thing that Satan wanted to come and tempt Christ. He's like, man, please, all this is mine to begin with. How are you going to come to me and try to tempt me about something that's mine? What sense does that make? That's like going to a man who owns his own house and tells him, "Man, I give you this house. Is you out your mind? This is my house. Get out of here." See, there's just the weak games that Lucifer plays on people, and it's just weak-minded. And I hate to say that, but when I say weak-minded, I'm not talking about the people who don't understand. I'm talking about the ones who know better, who read the Bible, should be reading this thing in the Bible, that's weak-minded, that's teaching this stuff. I just got to be real, because it's time out for the games, because people are losing their souls. This is serious stuff. People are going to hell and eventually to the lake of fire because people are just not teaching the right doctrine. And that's just not fair, and that's not right to people who are really seeking. Now, I pray all the time that people who are really seeking the truth, I'm praying for them that they find it, because this needs to change, okay? Now, I'm going to go ahead and read St. John, the 10th chapter, 28, verse 28 and 29. I've been a little long-winded there. But I need it because, like I say, I've been under the weather, so I need this Holy Spirit. I need the word for healing. This is how I get my healing a lot of times, by reading and studying the word, because when I keep going and just ignore my how I feel, because I'm not doing this for me, I'm doing this for you all, and I need this. See, I get blessed just like you get blessed. In fact, the Bible, Christ said it best. He said, I think it's over Acts the 20th chapter, verse 35. He said, it is more blessed. He said, I have showed you. Paraphrasing, I know I'm kind of messing up a little bit. But this part of what Christ said, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. See, the giver is always going to be more blessed than the receiver. Why? Because it takes the giver as the one that's giving up the most. The giver is the one that gives up the most when it comes to giving and receiving. Who's giving up the most? The giver is. The giver has the most to lose because he's the one that's giving it up. The receiver ain't got nothing to lose because he's the one that's receiving. So that's why the giver is the most blessed, because why? He has the most to lose. Okay, he also has the most to what? Gains. That's why people who give are blessed the most. I tell people, whatever you want to be blessed in, give it. If you want to be blessed in having a lot of clothes, give away your clothes. If you're not wearing clothes, get rid of them. If you want to be blessed in having a lot of money, give away money. Seriously, give away money if you want money. Don't worry about how it's going to come back to you. The Most High can give you a business, he can give you a better job. Don't worry about how you're going to get it back. Just give away money and see once you have a lot of money. I'm serious, okay? Now, back to the scripture, St. John, the 10th chapter, verses 28-29. Again, before I read these two verses, if anyone who don't believe that once you're saved, always saved, and salvation is not of works, after I read these two scriptures, Lord, I'll be praying for your soul. It is just that easy, and I don't know how people can't catch it. But this is what it says. Verse 20 says, and I give unto them eternal life. Now, we're going to stop right there. Because I showed you the other week that salvation is now, meaning that salvation is not after you die. Now, the results and the benefits, the greater benefits, is after we leave this world or after Christ returns. But your salvation is now. That's Romans the 8th chapter, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Once you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the plan of salvation, you are saved now, instantaneously, faster than the twinkling of an eye. You know, it ain't no, oh, it's coming. No, salvation is now. Once I confess it, I am saved. Boom. Instantly, I am saved. Okay? 2 Corinthians 6 chapter, verse 2. Okay? For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Salvation is instantaneously in this life. As soon as you confess and believe in your heart, instantly you are saved. You have salvation. That's why you have been changed, because you have been saved. Now, because you were born in sin, your perfection has not yet come until Christ comes back. He's going to change you. See, we're going to go through the process that Christ, that we have to be, you must die in most cases, but Paul talked about the mystery to the world. All of us won't die. but we know that most of us will, okay? So now, I showed you that salvation is now. It's not later. So if I am saved now, let's say I talk to this young man or this young lady. I talk to them, they say, Tim, how must I be saved? You go to Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 19. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, brother and sister, you shall be saved. Boom, they say, you know, I want to be saved. I'm tired of living this life. I'm tired of just being out here in the world. I want to be saved. I want Christ to save me. I want to be saved. Boom, they confess with their mouth, believe in the heart. Boom, they are saved right now. This day they are saved, that instant. In the twinkling of an eye, faster than you can blink or think, they're saved, okay? The Holy Spirit is in them. Right? Now, if you are saved that instant, why come and we're St. John, the 10th chapter, verse 28, where he says, and I give unto them eternal life. He gives it to you for your confession and your belief in him. He has saved you. That is it. Christ didn't ask you to do nothing else. These pastors out here, I've seen them. I've seen pastors preach all kind of stuff. Oh, well, you ain't out here living. I mean, still today in 2020, 2019, when I used to go to church, 2018, 2017, 2016, even probably still right now in 2021, they're able to pull people preaching that on the internet, wherever they are now, preaching that. The Bible says that nowhere else does the Bible say that you got to do all this stuff to become saved. All he requires is that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. He said all you have to do is have the faith. See, the only thing that takes you to the lake of fire is your unbelief. And that's hard for a lot of people to get that. I'm talking about people in the church, hard for them to know. Well, what about people? See, you worry about what everybody else do. You worry about their sin. What about your sin? Don't the Bible talk about that? Don't the Bible talk about not to judge? See, you're so concerned about what people are doing that you're going to mess around and miss heaven. Because you're concerned about somebody else's soul. I'm concerned about Tim. That's why I read study the Bible for Tim. I ain't concerned about what the next man or woman doing. I pray for him. I see him doing something, I pray for him. And if need be, if we close enough and I see something, I say, you go to your brother, your sister, you let them know. You give them life. Now, I'm going to cover that today. I ain't talking about that scripture in a long time. I'm going to cover that scripture too. Let's go ahead and move on so I can cover some more things. Now, get this, and I give unto them eternal life. Imagine that. So you mean to sit there and tell me if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, boom, salvation is in me. He says he's giving me eternal life. Well, number one, if he gives you eternal life, the Bible says he didn't give you partial life. He didn't give you almost life, eternal. The Bible don't say that. The Bible says he gives you eternal life. There's no other way to interpret that. The Bible leaves no room for you to interpret that any other way. You're supposed to be making up stuff out here. Stop making up stuff and adding stuff to the Bible that it don't say. Excuse me. I've talked to so many people, they want to add stuff to the Bible that is not there. If he gives you eternal life, that's just what it is, eternal life. And now, eternal life means that it never what? Ends. So how you going to make something end that Christ never said that has no end to? And in fact, you didn't even give the person that. Christ gave it to. So, number one. Number two, he gave the gift. You didn't give the gift. Number two, it's eternal. It's forever. So how you going to stop it? Number three, you don't have a heaven or hell to put nobody in. So I've yet to understand when people preach this stuff, because now I'm on my soapbox. They have no scripture to stand on. And then they're going to have the nerve to contradict the scripture. He said that he gave you eternal life. That's it. There's no other way to interpret that. You can't squeeze something. No, you can't wedge nothing in that. That's what it is. You believe in me, I give you eternal. You live forever. That's your gift from me. It's immortality for all eternity. And I know some people can't wrap their mind about it, around it, because they want to pick and choose who gets to go to heaven. That's not how it works. I don't have a right. You don't have a right either to pick and choose. I don't pick and choose who goes to heaven. And I tell people, if you confess your mouth, you go your way. I'll not ever forget. I met this one sister one time. And, you know, she was dealing with some things out of the world. I can tell. You know how people look. You can tell that they're doing certain things. I don't judge people. I pray for people. I love on them. he said brother so. So she said, I can't remember who she said. She said that she said she heard another pastor preach what I preach. And she said, so brother, do you, she said that I heard that if you believe that you have salvation for all eternity, that you can't lose. I said, sister, that's right. See, I love on that sister. I didn't beat her down. I didn't condemn her for what life she was living. I could care less what life she lived. That's not my business. That's not my place to judge her. I don't have a heaven or hell. I can't stop her salvation, her belief. I can't take eternal life away from her if Christ gave it to her. And I don't even give the gift. Christ gives the gift. It's not my place to judge her. I loved on the sister, said, sister, you right. That's right. That's what the scripture said. That's what it says. And if you believe that, sister, I told her, face to face, eyeball, I said, don't let nobody tell you you're not saved. I don't care what you do. You don't ever let nobody tell you you're not saved. Because the Holy Spirit in Yahweh and his son Yahshua will deal with the flesh. See, that's where we mess up. We want to put numbers on sin. Oh, well, we about to put a grading scale on sin. Again, you don't have a heaven or hell. That ain't your place. Play your position. That's not your position. My job is to teach the truth. Like I told this one brother, he tried to tell me, man, you ain't convinced me enough. I said, brother, I ain't trying to convince you. My job ain't to convince you. My job is to simply tell you the truth. And what you do with it, that's your business. He couldn't say nothing after that because it's the truth. The Bible said that the Bible word said he's not giving us the spirit of fear. Man, you stand on the word, can't nobody stand against you. Because he said, I'll be more than the whole world against you. That's Bible. That's the word. I ain't using this. Ain't stuff. I ain't good enough to make this up. I'm just not. I'm going to be real with you. I'm not good enough to make this up. This is in the Bible. I only read what's in the Bible and I give it to people. I study what's only in the Bible and I give it to people. I'm just going to be real. Tim ain't that talented to make this stuff up. I don't believe nobody is. But it's not my place to sit here and judge a brother or a sister that say they believe. Because I know that the Holy Spirit can deliver. And see, some people want to get into time frame. Oh, well, what if they do this? Well, wait a minute. Why are we trying to paint a picture of people's life? What about your life? I know people in the church right now that's cutting up, been in church for 30, 40, 50 years. I mean, when I say they cutting up, they might well be out on the street. But we ain't taking apart that life. I'm talking about, I know pastors. We ain't taking apart that life. I know deacons. We ain't taking apart the sisters in the church. We ain't piano players, musicians, people singing the choir, praise and worship. We ain't picking apart nobody's life that go to church on a consistent basis. But we know that they be out here cutting up. It ain't my place to judge nobody. I used to preach at this church, I ain't interested in that. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in your negativity. You keep that to yourself. I'm only interested in your positivity because I know that only what you do for Christ shall last. Focus on your, I'll tell people, your ministry is your deliverance. Focus on your ministry and the rest will take care of itself. I ain't got no business out here judging no woman because she out here doing whatever, or man. That's their business. As long as they say they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart, hey, I'm with that, okay? Because I know that the Holy Spirit can deliver. That's what Paul said, work out your own soul salvation. See, the Holy Spirit will deliver your soul, meaning that he will deliver your works. If you got a smoking problem, he'll deliver you from that. If you got a drinking problem, if you got a mouth problem where you cursing, he'll deliver you from that. You got a fornication or adultery problem, he'll deliver you from that. I know that he will. If you got lying and cheating, when I say cheating, I ain't talking about cheating on your wife or your girlfriend or your boy. I'm talking about, or your husband. I'm talking about cheating like there are people who be cheating on their taxes. Talk about folks that go to church. There are people be on the phone talking about people. I know people in the church, and that's popular among church people, church folk. Now I'm kind of getting a little parched up here. I'm going so hard. They love backbiting and talking about people. They love that. That's been number one since I was a kid. Now, if I ain't never seen saints do nothing else, I know that they do that in church. I'm in the back seat listening. I'm like, I thought this was going to be a sister in the church. She was just praising the Lord. While I thought this brother was going to be the keyboard for the piano player. They were cussing and everything. I'm like, what? There's probably people that see, this is the type of stuff I'm talking about. See, but we want to try to put a number on, oh, they sleeping around, they doing this. Man, that ain't the only sin. That ain't the only sin in the Bible. We got to stop putting numbers on sins and judging it and trying to make what's worse. To God, they all worse. They all bad. The Bible says that all of it is bad. All sin is evil. And for any sin that you commit, you whether the lake of fire. I don't care if you was to be here 100 years and you could live perfect 100 years, but you made one mistake. The Bible says you worthy of a lake. You worthy of the lake of fire. See, that's what the law was about. The law was not given to man to save man. It was given to man to show man that, hey, if you break any of these laws, these commandments or ordinances, you are worthy of the lake of fire. You're worthy of eternal death. That's what it was for. To show you, yeah, it was there to show you that it's wrong that you shouldn't do it. But see, he already knew that you were going to do it. Okay? Back to the scripture text. We're looking good on time. Back to the scripture text. And so now we pass this first portion of St. John, the 10th chapter, verse 26. And I give unto them eternal salvation. Again, who gives it? It's in the red. Christ wrote it. Christ said it. Christ gives salvation, not man. Okay? You don't earn salvation. It's given to you. See, if something is given to you, why? How are you going to earn it? See, if your boss gave you your paycheck for the month, he gave it to you. You didn't earn it, meaning you didn't go to work none this month, but he gave you your paycheck. It's a gift. He gave it to you, gave you your paycheck. You didn't earn it. You can't earn salvation. It's given to you. It's a gift. Okay? And guess what? Man, it has to be one of the best gifts that you can ever receive. The scripture said that it lasts for what? All eternity once you get it. When do you get it? You can have it right now in the present as long as you believe. And if you believe, you got it. What, all eternity? I have yet to understand how a pastor is going to tear that scripture up or any scripture in the Bible talks about eternal life and going to take your eternal life. How are they going to strip your eternal life from you? And they just man. And they got sin. And they got to stand before Christ. They ain't perfect. But they're going to take your eternal life. I don't let nobody take my eternal life. I say the devil is a lie. I'll beat them up with the Bible real quick. I got an arsenal of scriptures, and they can't combat none of them. Okay? Now, the next portion that says, and they shall never perish. Now, here we go again. Never and eternal kind of go hand in hand. They cousins. If somebody say you can never perish, mean that you can never what? Be destroyed. You'll never die. Well, that's the same as eternal life. It just said it in the opposite way. Eternal life is for eternity. Never perishing is never dying. That's what never perishing means. It'll never die. It'll never be destroyed. So how you going to take those two parallels and make them mean something else is what I can't understand. Now watch this. Now Christ says, you know what? I don't think that they're really quite. Just in case you don't get these first two things that I was saying, I'm going to give you something else. He says, watch this. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, I like the way that was written and how that was said. Because I tell people this. It says, neither shall any man, who is man? Any man, woman, boy, or girl. I had somebody tell me one time when I read the scripture, yeah, but another man can't call you loser, but you can. I'm like, Lord have mercy. See, there we go. We making up stuff. Why are we making up stuff when it comes to Bible? How are we making up stuff? This stuff is not even in the Bible. I said, brother, I said, the Bible don't even say that. See, you put, there you go. You squeezing in stuff and trying to wedge in stuff that's not even in the Bible. And it won't even fit because you can't. That ain't what the Bible says. It says, neither shall any man, that includes me, myself, and I, nor anybody on the outside of me can pluck me out of Christ's hand. Meaning that me, I myself, nor anyone else has the power to cause me to lose my salvation. This stuff is so easy, in my personal opinion. If you walk in with the Holy Spirit and holding his hand, and the Bible says he leads and guides us, amen, it's easy to understand. Children, I teach this stuff to kids, and kids got this. Oh, man, if I teach to them in elementary, oh, they some soldiers when they get into junior high. They'll eat some adults up. I've seen it happen in church. They'll eat some adults up. But see, you got so many people that are so stuck on what they so in love with their pastor and what their pastor taught, and their pastor just leading them to hell with his incorrect teaching, false doctrines. This ain't in the Bible. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, watch what Christ says in verse 20. He goes a little further. He says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Now, I told you all before who died on the cross. Christ died on the cross. He says, my Father, which gave them me, meaning that I went to the cross and died for your sins. Tim didn't go to nobody's cross. And I'm going to tell you right now, Tim couldn't deal with what Christ did, because it was a moment they were singing Hosanna, Hosanna to me one day, and the next day they cussing me out and spitting on me. Oh, that's a fight. See, I'm just different. I'm just being real. I'm different from Christ. I'm different from Christ. I'm not the same. This is why you or I did not do it. Oh, see, you think you won't? Let somebody spit in your face. Oh, I mean, I shouldn't tell you right now. Over 99% of people in the world, and somebody blatantly hawk and spit in your face, oh, that is a fight. I don't know too many people that are just a stranger from out the blue, and you just having a wonderful day. You don't know whether this person wants something to spit in your face. I don't care who you are, from bishop to the usher at the back of the church. Most people, that's a fight. You said you want to with your holy now self. I know better. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it. This is why they got videos with church fights. Because most folks ain't going for that type of disrespect. There's some folks that, man, you cussed them out. They ready to fight. Man, they were hitting him, spitting on him. Man, the beating that he took. But see, you don't understand. See, the difference is, and this is the reason why I say that you or I couldn't have done it, meaning that, is it possible that somebody probably could have done it? That there was one or two throughout the history of mankind that could have took all that he took and been humble with it? Maybe. But let me show you why you couldn't have done it. See, a lot of people don't even get this part. I'm going to give you another gold nugget, and I love giving you gold nuggets. Because you can take it back and share it with whoever, because I know you're going to do it anyway. Watch this. See, what people fail to realize, it wasn't only just what he was taking. It's with the power and authority that he had, and he took the abuse that he got. See, most of us, we have the power to stop what's going on. So you can say that you want to. I don't care who it is. If anybody beating you or have the power over your life, or they think, but you have the power to stop them. See, he could have called on a legion of angels. They could have slew all of them like nothing. How many people do you think in this life, where they getting jumped, beat up, threatened, I mean, anything evil happening to them, if they had the power to simply snap their fingers or look to heaven and call it out and whatever's happening, stop it. He had the power to kill those who were harming him. How many people do you think will not do that? I can almost guarantee you for sure, if I had some type of power, even if you had Superman power, or power beyond Superman, we don't even use Superman, power beyond Superman. That's how power Christ got. He got power, Noah, all powers in his hand. And the point I'm making that, if somebody's doing you wrong, how many times that when people cut us off or throw a finger at us or talk crazy to us, that we wish something on them. I'm guilty of it. You guilty of it. I ain't crazy. I don't care if you say that and say, I don't care if you put a spiritual curse on them and say, you know what, the Most High going to get you for that. I don't care what you do, but you still wishing something on them. The point that I'm making is, if you had the power to do something to somebody who wronged you, how many of us would not take it upon ourselves to handle up? Mostly all of us would. That's the point I'm making about Christ. It wasn't so much that what he took. It's the fact that he took what he took, but he had the power to stop it from happening. But because of love that we can't understand in this flesh, which is called agape, to the spiritual love, the godly love through the Holy Spirit, said because he loved us so much, he took the abuse without getting out of it, without saying enough is enough. That's how much he loves me. That's how much he loves you. And this is why I teach the word that I teach, because he loves you so much. This is why I took it. And this is why it says, my Father which gave them me. See, that's why he gave you. That's why I belong to Christ, because of what he did, a sacrifice. See, that's what you call a sacrifice. The one that I have the power to thump you off of me if I need to, but I choose not to. Man, that's a powerful word right there. And you could just, man, you could take that many different ways. You could take that with your personal life experiences. You could take that with slavery, police brutality, women that have been taken advantage of, men that have been taken advantage of. Just you would take that to any level in your life. If anybody wronged you and you have the power to call from heaven to just wipe them out, how many of us wouldn't do that in a heartbeat? But see, he was so humble that he died on the cross for you and our sins. And this is what he did. He made the ultimate sacrifice, knowing that those that pierced him in the side, those that were spitting on him, cutting, those that beat him and pushed the sharp thorns down to his skull, those that were beating him with those little things that they had to beat, that were tearing, ripping his skin off. Oh, man, that would have been enough for most people to say, Lord, where the angels? Where is the angels? You know, like the young people said, where the goons at? You know, that would have been enough for you to call out the angels and say, this is it. See, but he loved you so much, he made the sacrifice. And this is why it says, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's why can't nobody take your salvation. Just that plain and simple. Can't nobody take you out of the Father's hand. He went to the extent and said, you can't take them out of my hand, nor my Father. My Father's greater than all, so once I die for you, you belong to me. You also belong to the Holy Father, and you will see it. I showed you just last week. Well, through by the Holy Spirit, you are sealed. Once you sealed, man, you in there. Man, you was in there. Once you are saved, you are saved. And I can't say it enough, and I'll not ever get tired of saying it. Once saved, always saved. I say it, I'll preach it, I'll stand on that Bible, I'll stand on the Word, I'll stand against any man or woman, boy or girl, to try to come up against the Word, the Holy Word, because that's what the Scriptures say. The Scripture supports nowhere. And I know about two or three Scriptures in the Bible that could implement that. That's not what it's saying. And I don't share it with people because they're looking for something. And that's what's so sad about the people that I've talked to. They don't even know where the Scripture's at. I say, I ain't even tell you because you don't even know where it's at. Because why? I'm not going to give you something that's for you to try to stand on one Scripture. And I tell people, once you do your research, that's not even what the Scripture is saying. That's not even what the Bible is saying. And so, you know, but, you know, people, you know, they I understand that, you know, people are hold to a little pride. We all got pride. But it's okay. You know, when you know better, you do better. I just want people to teach the rightfully divided word. I want people to be saved. Don't cause a stumbling block to people. You know, we don't want confusion. We want people to become saved. Want people to understand salvation, but this time is moving. Amen. I got some more scriptures I want to share with you today before I go, so I ain't going to just leave just yet. I want to share this with you. I had to go ahead and read that. And so you see the different references in St. John, the 10th chapter, verses 28 29, where he said that no man can pluck them out of my hand. And then he said, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then he comes back in verse 3, says, I and my Father are one. the power of God, man, is so powerful that Satan, man, I laugh at that. That's a laughing joke. Don't teach that people can lose their salvation. That's wrong. That's a laughing joke. I laugh at that. Satan don't even have that type of power, so I don't even know why people even teach that. But anyway, let's move on. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John, I want to share this verse with you. I haven't read this scripture in a long time. And what I, the comment that I said earlier reminded me of the scripture. And so we're going to come from 1 John, the 5th chapter. Amen. And I'm going to read verse 16. 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 16 says, if any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Amen. Okay. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. So I was telling you earlier about sin and how, you know, people like to put like a number on sin. All sin is sin with the Most High. We have to understand that. But there's only one sin that can take you to the lake of fire. That's the sin of unbelief. This is what the scripture is talking about, the sin of unbelief. If you don't believe, you reject God, that's the sin that you can't come back from. The other sins you can be forgiven of. The sin of blasphemy, you can't be forgiven of that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I tell people, you know, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is so deep that most people don't even know what it is. And that's for people who are just like totally sold their soul, sold out to Lucifer. Most people don't even know what that is. And most people won't even do that, blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's something that you know, the Antichrist and the false prophet is going to do. That's one of the reasons that they're not even going to be judged. They're going to be tossed right into the lake of fire. Read Revelation, the 19th chapter, right at the last few verses. You'll see that they won't even get to be judged. They so evil and so wicked, and that's probably what they did. Like I said, most people don't even know what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. So you won't even know how to do it. You won't even know how to do it anyway. You got to be so evil and so wicked and so on the level with Lucifer to do such a thing. And that's why I say that's more likely what the Antichrist and the false prophet, the false priest is going to do. They're going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's what they're going to do. That's one of the reasons why they're not even going to be judged. I'm like, huh? Okay, you know what? Just throw them in the lake. Judgment? No, we're not going to judge. Just throw them in the lake of fire. That's what's going to happen. They're going straight, like people say, straight to hell. They ain't going to go straight to hell. They're going to bypass judgment. They're going to bypass hell. They're so evil, they're going to be just thrown right in the lake of fire. Just put them in the fire. They don't even waste time. Just put them on in there. So, you know, again, we're talking about the sin of unbelief. Okay? So this is what you're dealing with when we talk about these things that are so in-depth. I tell people, man, the only thing that can take you to the lake of fire is you not believing. It's just that simple. Well, what about all this? See, you know, I don't get into all that. Because I tell people, man, pray that God deliver you from whatever it is that you're dealing with. And I leave it at that. But, man, people come and tell me, I remember when people just come, sure. I remember when I first got saved, because you have to be careful. When you tell people that you're saved and they're hurting, people were sharing some of the most deepest things with you. That I had to stop people from doing that because it began to bother my spirit. I'm like, wait a minute, man. These people tell me all these problems. This is bothering me. I had to stop people from doing that. I don't want to know what your sins are. I don't want to know what you're dealing with or what you've been through. Because as a man of the cloth and the man of the Most High, that can begin to bother your spirit. I had to stop people from doing that many years ago. Almost 20 years ago when I first got saved, people would tell me some of the most deep, dark inner secrets. I'm like, man, I don't want to know all that stuff. That's too much. I mean, you don't even know a lot of stuff is going on in the world until people begin to share it with you. So I had to stop people from sharing. I say, no, but brother, sister, I don't even want to know what it is. You know what it is. God know what it is. And we're going to let the Holy Spirit deal with you on that because Christ has already saved your soul. Once he saved you, see, Christ has done his job. Right now, he's just waiting to come back to get the church. When the Heavenly Father commanded him to come back and get the church, he's going to come back and get the church. Okay? So I tell people, you can be delivered from anything. I believe that. I'm a strong believer that you can be delivered from anything. And that's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. He's going to deliver you. And so I don't get into people's personal business. I see people hear some pastors. I just be in my mind just thinking to myself, man, you know, I don't want no people's business. I've been there and done that and dealt with that. I don't want to deal with the business. And sometimes I feel like some people just want to know. In fact, I know for a fact. Some pastors want to know just to be nosy. And sometimes, you know, it's wrong to go back and share other people's business with other people. You know, my wife told me that she actually witnessed that this pastor went back and shared some information on the poor. You know, you don't want to do things like that. In my opinion, that's wrong to do people like that. So, you know, I remember one time I confided, and I actually left the church behind something like that. There's one pastor I confided, I said something to him. Just a person one-on-one comes in and be with me and him. And he just said over the pulpit. Now I'm looking around like, what in the world? And, you know, when he said it, you know, people in the church were like, ooh. I'm like, what, this dude just said this in the church? And so, man, I gathered my family, me and my wife and children, the next Sunday, we didn't come back to the church. We were done. And we had been going to that church for a while, and I just couldn't believe that the pastor had did that to me. And so I say that to say this, you know, I always said I wasn't going to do nobody like that. I believe that that's wrong, you know, share something over to people over the pulpit. I just think that's wrong to do that. But anyway, you know, again, you know, the only sin that you can't be forgiven of is rejection of God. We know that all the people because here's the thing, let me share this with you first. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, you're not going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You can't. And I'm going to show you a scripture right now that proves that you can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit once you've been saved. See, I tell people be teaching all this nonsense, stuff that's not even scripture. You cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit once you've been saved. Because the Bible also talks about how can the kingdom of Satan be against one another and the kingdom of God be against one another. It don't work. In fact, Christ said even the kingdom of Satan is not against each other. They're not. Evil spirits are all one. They're all one. Lucifer, the fallen, they've all made a pact and an agreement that this is, we're riding together through the wheels, Paul off. Today, thrown in the lake of fire, they're riding together. They're gonna do evil, and they're going to follow Satan to the end. To the end. And so we as believers, we got to also understand that God has also made us one with him. And we're going to follow him to the end, till eternal life. And throughout all eternity, we're going to follow. You're not going to rebel against him. This is one of the reasons why we will have the. That's one reason why we have the Holy Spirit in us. So you can't. That's one reason why you can't lose your salvation. That's another reason why you can't rebel against God, because you already have the Holy Spirit in you. And let me share these verses. I got plenty of time, so let me share these verses. I just shared these two verses with you. Let me share something with you. What was I thinking? Let's see. See if I can remember. It's just the enemy's attacking me. So we're just going to go ahead and share this verse. Hopefully the other one will come to me. Hopefully it'll come to me. Let's go ahead and share this. Let's look at 1 John, the 4th chapter. I'm just going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. And hopefully it'll come back. I know what I was talking about. Let me go ahead and do this now. I was talking about the Holy Spirit, how you cannot go up against the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for putting that back in my heart, in my spirit. We're going to go over here first. Go over to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'm going to prove to you that we are one with the Holy Spirit and that we cannot go up against the Holy Spirit of God. We just can't. I'm going to show you scripture. I've been teaching this scripture for many, many years. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to get ready to shut it down a little bit. Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Amen. So when Christ was raised from the dead, He gave spiritual gifts unto man. And if you read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, you'll see what those spiritual gifts are from verse 8 down through verse 11. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I highly encourage you to read the entire 12th chapter. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Man, I love the way Paul writes. This is the whole purpose. I would not have you ignorant, brothers and sisters. I don't want you to be ignorant to the words. That's why I'm teaching you and taking my time and breaking down the word to you. I would have you not ignorant. Verse 2 says, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Meaning these idol gods, these false gods, these idol, don't allow these false gods. Now watch this. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, that's Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, calleth Yahshuah, that's the Christ, a curse. Now, if you can see, this scripture contains what? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All are what? One. We just left 1 John, the 5th chapter. Amen. And we looked at verse 16 and 17. We get a chance. Read 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 7 and 8, where it talks about the Spirit, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and these three are one. That's 1 John, the 5th chapter. Now back to where I'm at over in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I said that to show you that they're all one. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit is one. And if we become one with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're all one together. We're all going and flowing in one direction, okay? We're not going up against God. We can't become rebellious. Now we're one with him. Now watch this. He says, and that no man can say that Yahshuah is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. What is the scripture saying? The scripture is simply saying that you cannot curse Christ or say anything evil against Christ and you have the Holy Ghost in you. You just can't. You can't. No man can say that Yahshua is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's the only way you're going to say that he's the Son of God, that you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. And because you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, you can't say anything accursed or say anything bad about Christ. I don't want to say anything bad about Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. I don't want to say anything about the Heavenly Father, my God, because why? He's my God. And I don't want to say anything bad about the Holy Spirit. He's the keeper. You know, he leads and guides me, and he protects me. So I'm also on the side with the angels. We are one. We're all on the same side. So when you start seeing people say certain things, then you better run. You know they ain't of God. Because it's impossible. You just can't do it, okay? So I tell people, if you're saved, you don't even have to worry about blaspheming the Holy Spirit because you can't do it. The scripture I just showed you, well, the scripture says you can't do it, okay? So a lot of times people will, to me it's like, I don't want to say making up stuff. I just feel like people are not rightfully dividing the word. You have to pray and meditate on these scriptures, and the Holy Spirit will show you. He will reveal it to you the truth. Amen. So we're getting close to shutting it down. Pretty much I'm done. Next week we'll be back. We're going to talk more. We're going to delve a little bit deeper into love. But I had to share these scriptures with you. So we're going to talk about love next week. Let me go and share this one last scripture with you. I feel the need to do so. I think it makes a lot of sense to do so. Because I want people to understand the promise of eternal life. I know we've been harping on that today. But, hey, why not go further? Why not drive the nail even deeper? Love to drive this thing home. To make sure that we understand the assurance of eternal life and the promise of eternal life. This is a promise, okay? We're going to go over to 1 John, the 2nd chapter. And we're going to look at verses 18 and 19 just today. Read out the rest of that context. First John, the second chapter, verses 18 through 29. Read it, but I'm just going to read First John, the second chapter, verses 18 and 19. Amen. I may throw in a couple more verses, but let's go ahead and read. It says, little children, again, First John, the second chapter, verse 18 and 19. When it says little children, who's it speaking to? Speaking to the believers, to the church. They ain't talking about little bitty children running around the church. Amen. Even although they could be, because we know that Christ says, suffer not what? Little children, for such is the kingdom of God. But in this case, the writer is talking to us, the believers, the saints. So little children, it is the last time, meaning the last days. That's where we're in now. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. He's talking about the actual Antichrist for the tribulation. During the tribulation period, he's going to kick off the tribulation. But watch what the writer says. Even now we know that there are many Antichrists, meaning that the spirit of Antichrist means to replace God. So I've learned that anti is not against Christ, but in other words, in a term of replacing Christ. And we know that's what Lucifer wanted to do. He wanted to what? Replace God. So the Antichrist is going to come and try to replace who? Christ. That's why he's called the Antichrist. He wants to replace Christ. That's what the Greek translation of anti means. It means he wants to remove or to replace. So we know that's the same thing with Lucifer. He wants to what? Remove God from the throne. He wanted to become the Most High. We know that wasn't going to happen, right? He should have known better than that. But now watch this. It says, even now there are many Antichrists. Excuse me. So the enemy's trying to attack me. Almost through though. Amen. It says, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So because we know that there are so many false religions, and even more now at this day and time, are there more false religions to replace the one true religion. In fact, there are so many false religions that mimic and seem so very identical to the very religion that we have as believers. Again, which is why I don't call myself a Christian. Now, I'm not a people who take the title Christian. That's fine. I choose not to for several different reasons. You have to study and do your research and your history on that. Give me one moment. Amen. And so, at this day and time, we have so many false religions to try to replace the one true religion. This is why it says that even now there are many antichrists, so many different religions, whereby we know that it is what? The last time. This is how we know that we are in the last days. Amen. We're not in the end times yet, but we're in the last days. The last days is right before the end times, okay? The end times is the last 1,007 years. The first 7 years, which is the Great Tribulation. Then after that, Christ is going to return with his saints, and we're going to rule with him for 1,000 years. Okay? Now watch verse 19. First John, the second chapter, says, they went out from us. Amen. If y'all been listening to my teaching for years, you know that us is who? The believers. We are the us. They are the unbelievers, the ones that are going to the lake of fire. They are going to hell and then the lake of fire. Okay? But it says that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not what? All of us. Very deep scripture, very deep interpretation. What does that verse mean? They, as I told you, are the unbelievers. They went out from who? The unbelievers went out from us. Who's us? Us is the believers. So basically it reads, the unbelievers went out from the believers. But the unbelievers were not of the believers. But they had been of the believers. The unbelievers would no doubt have continued with the believers. But they went out that the unbelievers might be made manifest. What the scripture is simply saying is that, again, this proves my saying, once saved, always saved. Because if a person was a believer, they would have continued with us. They would have stayed with us. They would have never left us. But because they was not a believer, that's why they went out. That's what the scriptures say. That's why I said they went out from us. Means that they were not of. In other words, they were never saved to begin with. For if they had been of us, in other words, they'd been saved, they would no doubt have what? They would have stayed with us. They would continue with us because they're saved. Because you can't lose your salvation. But they went out that they what? Might be made manifest. They left. They were unbelievers left. Why? So it may be known that they were not. They were never saved. They were never saved. That they were not what? All of us. There are people in the church that are faking and shaking. They've been around you for years. You think they say they're not. They're going to the lake of fire. This is why Christ gave the book of Revelation to John to warn the seven churches the last 2,000 years before his return to get the church. Amen. And so you have to be careful. You know, there's so many people are talking about there's no pre-tribulation and stuff like that, meaning that Christ is not going to come back to get the church. Again, I've yet to understand that teaching. That's a false doctrine. It makes no sense. The church has been through 2,000 years of tribulation. They're going to get their tribulation in 7 years. So can you imagine 2,000 years of tribulation compacted into 7 years and then multiplied? No, you can't imagine it. I can't imagine it. That Daniel said that there was no time like it on earth, nor to this time, nor will there ever be. And Christ came right behind him and said the exact same thing. It has not ever been a time like this till even to now, nor will shall there ever be after this. That seven-year period, the tribulation, which is we believe that we are approaching the tribulation, but Christ is going to come back and get the church right before the great tribulation, is going to be so terrible. People think they're going to withstand it. My son, when he was talking, he said some of his friends talking about saying silly stuff like they're going to be able to endure the lake of fire. They're going to get used to the lake of fire. You're not going to get used to that. Man, stop playing with the Most High. We got to teach the truth out here because these children, these people, even adults out here playing, so many people are losing their souls on a daily basis, playing these different games thinking, oh, it's going to be okay. Oh, it ain't that bad. Oh, that stuff ain't real. That's a joke. That's a fairy tale. I've heard it all. It's a fairy tale, smoke and mirrors. I've talked to people who are atheists, unbelievers, you know, people who got money. People who got money and got time for God. They love to say, I don't believe in that. I don't want to hear that. They are so quick to cut you off. Those are the people who got money. But those are the ones that say, I got money. I don't need God, all that kind of stuff. And then you got your people who are, you know, that are just don't want nothing to do with the Most High. But it's a sad thing. And my heart goes out to them because I don't want nobody to be lost. I don't care if you don't like me and you can't stand me. I don't want nobody to be lost because I know what's coming. That lake of fire is no joke. I read in the book of Enoch, and Enoch was saying that how he went to the ends of heaven and earth. And the angel showed him that place. The first place was hell. There were seven stars which represented seven angels that were bounded, and they was in the flame burning. And then he talked about he went to a place, another place that was even worse than the first place. And he said this place is reserved for the judgment of those who reject God for all eternity. That tells me that's the lake of fire. I'm like, man, oh, man, oh, man. People can play with God all they want. This thing is real and serious. I don't want nobody to be lost. Hey, you know, come on and get on board this train. Again, if you want to be saved today, Romans 10, chapter verses 9 and 10, thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart. That's all you have to do. The scripture says that thou shalt be saved. Nothing more, nothing less. You know, I'm not going to make this thing difficult. I don't have a right to make it difficult. You know, it's not my place to do that because why? I am not God. You know, I want you to become saved. I want you to have salvation. I don't want nobody to be lost because why? I love you, and I think highly of you. I want to see you in the end. And like I say, I don't care who you are, what you've been through, what you look like. I just want you to be saved. So, family, that's going to be it. That's all that I really got. Hey, man, I thank you for listening. I thank the Holy Spirit for carrying me through this hour and a half because of me being up under the weather. So be praying for me that I get well and be feeling better next week. Hey, man, so I don't have anything else. So, family, be good. Have a wonderful week. Take care of yourself. Stay safe. Make sure that you are being in compliance with this pandemic that's out here. Also, make sure that you are aware of your surroundings and what's going on at all times. Be praying that the Holy Spirit cover you and your family and your loved ones because that's what's been protecting us for all these years is the Holy Spirit and the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Again, family, be good. Remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. I love you. Until next week, I'll be back next week, and we will have our last week of salvation, teaching on salvation. So far, we covered eternal life. We cover once saved, always saved. So next we're gonna be covering God is love. That part of salvation, the love part of salvation, how powerful His love is that He gave His only begotten Son. So pretty much, I just want you to understand that your salvation is sealed, it's secure, it's valid. You're good to go. When you get to the pearly gates, that car is gonna say green. You're going in, so don't worry about, you know, it's your salvation. Sleep good tonight once you confess with your mouth, believe with your heart. You can't lose your salvation. Nobody can take your salvation, not even you. Amen. The reason why I have to say it, because I heard that before. Somebody tried to say, well, you can lose your own salvation. That's not true. Family, I love you. Take care. Be good. Eat good. Sleep good. Have a wonderful week. Take care. Love you.